So good morning, everyone. Let's start with a short meditation to relax the body, relax the mind, and set a good motivation for the day. So finding a nice, comfortable posture. So, as always, we begin by preparing the body, setting it in a state of ease and relaxation. So simply allow your awareness to descend into the body, becoming aware of sensations throughout the body. And using the out-breath to relax and release any tightness or tension in any part of the body. Bringing your awareness to the area of your face and softening and relaxing all the muscles in the face. In particular, all the muscles around the eyes, soft and relaxed. In this way, allowing the entire body to become completely relaxed, completely at ease. We can take three slow, deep breaths, maintaining awareness of sensations throughout the body as you breathe. breathing to settle into its natural rhythm. Not trying to control or regulate the breath in any way. And then setting the mind in a state of ease and relaxation by letting go of any hopes or fears, worries or concerns about the past or the future, and simply allowing the mind to come to rest in the present moment. Through focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body, wherever you most distinctly notice sensations associated with the breathing. And maintaining that ongoing flow of mindfulness of the sensations of the breath throughout the entire cycle of each in and out breath. to be happy, and we all want to be free of problems and suffering. But what is the source of our suffering and the source of our happiness? It often seems to us as if the source of our suffering and the source of our happiness is out there in the world. And as a result, one of the main methods we use to try to find happiness and overcome suffering is that we try to manipulate the things around us. We try to attract people, places and things that seem to be the source of our happiness. And we try to push away or avoid people, places and things that seem to be the source of our suffering. No matter how hard we try to do this, we still seem to encounter suffering. And we're still chasing after that elusive happiness. We simply get ourselves caught up in the hope-fear cycle. Hoping for pleasant experiences and fearing or worrying about unpleasant experiences. And if we don't get the things we want, we often become very frustrated. And even if we do get the things we want, they never really fully satisfy us, and we simply end up craving for more. And we often end up with a lot of dissatisfaction and disappointment when things don't live up to our expectations. So what's the solution? From a Buddhist perspective, we're simply looking in the wrong place. What would happen if we turned our attention to our own mind? What would happen if we began to cultivate more mindfulness? If we developed a more calm, clear, focused mind? And what would happen if we could start to see things more clearly and accurately without projecting or distorting what we apprehend? And we reduced our mental afflictions such as anger and craving, jealousy, anxiety and depression. And instead of reacting to things out of our old habits, we could begin to respond in ways more conducive to our own and others' happiness. And what would happen if we could see difficult situations in our life as opportunities for growth and development, rather than seeing them as problems or obstacles? So let's set a positive motivation for this retreat. A motivation of wishing to discover practical methods to overcome our own suffering and find genuine happiness. And and in particular in this retreat, to learn methods to develop a more calm, clear, and focused mind as a basis for that genuine happiness. Let's expand that motivation out to include others as well. Also wishing to help those around us to overcome suffering and find genuine happiness. So keeping this motivation in mind, we can slowly finish this meditation and we can begin our discussions together today. So let's begin with a short review. So this retreat is a shamatha retreat. So remember, shamatha is a Sanskrit word, most often translated into English as calm, abiding. So shamatha, of course, is a concentration practice. It's the practice of cultivating and developing a calm, clear, focused mind, which is one of the core practices in any Buddhist tradition. And I think it's a very important aspect of having any sort of meaningful life. If we can really cultivate that calm, clear, focused mind, it'll be so helpful. And we saw in that practice that there are a number of elements that we need to be aware of. One of those, of course, is that this practice comes in within a larger framework, that we really need to have a sort of conducive environment, a supportive lifestyle to really take advantage of this practice. And we're going to be looking at how to do that later in the retreat. And then within the practice itself, we saw that it's important at the beginning of each meditation session to prepare body, speech, mind, having a nice, comfortable posture, relaxed body, allowing breathing to settle into its natural rhythm, and then also bringing the mind into the present moment and having a good motivation for the practice. And then we saw within the practice that we can talk about developing three qualities in the practice. Relaxation, stability, clarity. So again, generally in the texts, we only talk about these two qualities of stability and clarity, to cultivate a stable mind, a mind that can focus on an object without becoming distracted, but also to be able to focus in a very clear way, overcoming any dullness. But we added the third quality yesterday of relaxation, which I think for many of us we really need to pay attention to, because unfortunately in our modern world, we tend to have a lot of tension. We have very hectic, fast-paced lives, bombarded by stimulus all the time. usually a lot of stress and agitation. Our minds tend to be very chaotic. And then whenever we want to focus on anything in our life, we tend to tighten. We tend to really clamp down forcefully when we want to focus. That approach, of course, is not very effective. And certainly here, it's not going to work in developing a calm, clear, focused mind if we have a lot of tension in our practice. So we really need to make sure that we're really emphasizing relaxation. Not only having a relaxed body, but a relaxed mind. Because it's only with a relaxed mind that we're going to be able to effectively cultivate a stable and a clear mind. And to really emphasize that a little bit more, I'd like to read a little bit again from Alan Wallace's book, because he also very much emphasizes this quality of relaxation. And this is on page 14, down towards the bottom. And he's talking about in the context here of the mindfulness of breathing practice. He says, "Thus our practice of mindfulness of breathing consists of prolonging our awareness of our breath. While this requires an alert mind, such concentration should not be tense, but rather balanced. When we discover that we have become distracted from the meditation object, it may feel natural to clamp down more forcefully, tightly concentrating the mind. You can see this in the facial expressions of people who try to concentrate in this way. Their lips become pursed, their eyebrows draw together, and their foreheads become furled with wrinkles. They're becoming concentrated, but like orange juice, most of the fluidity is being drained from their minds. If you want to concentrate for a short time and don't mind the side effects of tension and fatigue, you can follow the above strategy. But if you want to follow the path of shamatha, you'll need an alternative. I had to discover this fact through experience. During my first extended shamatha retreat, I was filled with enthusiasm. I wanted to take full advantage of the rare opportunity that was before me, for I was meditating in India under the guidance of the Dalai Lama. I had no financial worries and my material needs were easily met. All I had to do was to put the instructions into practice. I threw myself into this training with all my might. Each morning I would rise at 3:30, except once I slept in until 3:45 and got upset with myself for slacking off. Enthusiastic I was, but so uptight. The Tibetan manuals on shamatha meditation that I had studied over the years stated that the type of attention needed when one began such practice was, quote, highly focused. So I tried as hard as I could to keep my mind from wandering. Within a matter of a few weeks, devoting many hours each day to meditation, I could sustain my attention on my chosen object for up to half an hour. I was elated by making such fast progress. As the weeks went by, however, I found myself becoming more and more fatigued. I was draining myself both physically and mentally. My joy in the practice was diminishing accordingly, and I felt my attention was not developing any further. What was wrong? I was trying too hard. The cultivation of shamatha involves balancing the mind, and that includes balancing the effort exerted in the practice with relaxation. I think this points to a cultural difference between traditional Tibetans living in the highlands of Tibet and modern people leading fast-paced lives, their senses constantly bombarded by telephones, email, the media, and noise. Years of such existence conditioned the nervous system and mind in ways that might have been considered torture in rural Tibet. One traditional Tibetan doctor whom I know once commented on people living in the West, So now he's quoting the Tibetan doctor who says the following. From the perspective of Tibetan medicine, you are all suffering from nervous disorders. But given how ill you are coping remarkably well. Whether we dwell in Boston, Buenos Aires, Berlin, or Beijing, our minds are conditioned to be more high-strung and engaged in compulsive thinking than the minds of Tibetan nomads and farmers living a century ago. So when Tibetan meditation manuals advise beginners to focus their attention firmly, the instructions are aimed at a very different reader than the average city dweller in the 21st century. Before we can develop attentional stability, we first need to learn to relax. So I think that's some very good advice, and I know from personal experience, and actually many people I talk to also fall into this trap that, of course, we want to put effort into our practice, we're maybe enthusiastic to do the practice, but then we tighten because we see our minds are very chaotic. So the natural tendency can be, of course, is if we become distracted, we get frustrated, we get upset, we clamp down more forcefully. And if we do that, of course, we're just going to get a lot of fatigue, more frustration, more agitation, and it's going to be a spiral when it's not going to be very helpful. We're not really going to progress at all. So really the first thing we need to do in any of these practices is we need to learn to relax. Relax, 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 have a nice relaxed body and a relaxed mind. And then if we can really develop that relaxed mind, then that is a very good basis for developing stability and clarity. So if all we can manage to do in this retreat is to learn to relax the body and mind a little bit, then we've really made a lot of progress already. So we need to really develop these three qualities in this order. We really need to, as a beginning point, emphasize relaxation, particularly if we notice a lot of tension. Then on the basis of a relaxed mind, we can help to stabilize the mind. And then on the basis of a more stable mind, we can work on improving the clarity of our attention. So each one is the sort of the basis for the next. And then we saw that in this retreat we are going to be focusing on three different objects in the practice. So again, remember, in general, in the shamatha practice, the recommendation is to use the object that works best for you. For many of us, I think that will be the breath, and that's the one that's most emphasized in most Buddhist traditions. And within that, we saw there are three variations that we're going to look at, the full body, which we looked at yesterday, and we're going to be doing each evening in the corpse posture as well. And that is just noticing sensations in any part of the body associated with the breathing. That is particularly good for cultivating relaxation, particularly together with the corpse posture, the Shavasana posture. The practice that we're going to begin to look at now and the rest of today is to focus in the area of the abdomen, very much emphasized in many Buddhist traditions. Fairly large area of focus, so this is very good for developing stability of attention. Then tomorrow we're going to move on to the nostrils, this little area at the entrance of the nostrils here, a much smaller area of focus, so this is going to be very helpful for improving the clarity of attention. And then on day four, we're going to be looking at the mind practice of focusing on our own mind as the object of shamatha practice. And then on day five, we're going to look at this awareness of awareness practice, or sometimes called shamatha with no object, just simply resting in the mind itself, resting in the experience of awareness itself. So these three objects, I think, each has their own unique advantages and benefits, and I think each of one of those can be very suitable, particularly for us in our modern day society. So we're going to be working with those three objects in the coming days. And then we saw that in this practice, the two main tools we use is mindfulness, symbolized in that diagram by a rope. We're trying to tie our mind to the object using the rope of mindfulness. So mindfulness again here
is simply our ability to remember the object. So the original Sanskrit and Pali words literally means to remember. So mindfulness, again, is the faculty, our ability to hold the object, not to forget it, not become distracted. But then we need a second tool of introspection, which is like quality control, is like monitoring our mindfulness. Are we still holding the object well, or are we starting to become dull or distracted? So this is the second main tool, symbolized by that hook in the diagram we saw yesterday. So these are the tools we use, and then we went through that list of 5 faults and 8 antidotes that we need to overcome in the practice. And we're going to continue to look at these elements each evening as we look at how we progress in this practice. Using this, we'll be looking at this diagram each evening to have a look at some elements of how we progress and develop in the practice. But what I'd like to do now then is have a look at the abdomen practice, to really work with the abdomen today. And this is very good, again, for developing stability of attention. And this is very much emphasized in many of the Theravada traditions in Buddhism. When they talk about the shamatha practice, the concentration practice, a lot of those Theravada traditions really emphasize the abdomen because it's quite easy to focus on and very helpful for developing that attentional stability. So to briefly introduce the practice again, I'd like to read a little bit from Alan Wallace's book. He's also, of course, in this book here following exactly the same sequence of objects as we'll be following in this retreat. So I'll be following this book quite closely during this retreat. So here, the abdomen practice, he discusses this on page 31. So he says the following. He says, begin this session as you did before, by settling your body in its rest state, imbued with the 3 qualities of relaxation, stillness, and vigilance. So remember again here, in terms of preparing the body, the posture. We had talked about the various elements of the posture yesterday in terms of the feet, the hand position, and so forth. But to really simplify the posture, we can talk about 2 elements of the posture. And that is to have the body completely relaxed and keep the back nice and straight. Because if the back is not nice and straight and we're sort of hunched over like this, then of course we're just going to fall into dullness. And also at a more subtle level, if we don't have the back straight, then a lot of the subtle energies in our body don't flow very well, which also creates problems. So if we can really have that back nice and straight, and the body completely relaxed, then we have a good posture. So that's what he talks about here. He says relaxation, stillness, and vigilance. So vigilance here, the vigilant posture is again keeping the back nice and straight. And also stillness. We also tend to have the habit of whenever we got a little itch or scratch, we're sort of itching, scratching, moving. So as much as possible in this retreat, don't allow yourself to just get into that habit of every time you have a little itch or scratch, adjusting and moving and so forth, because it's just going to cause distractions. Of course, if at any time in the meditation you're having a lot of pain in the knee or back or something, you may need to adjust your posture. But try to avoid a lot of unnecessary fidgeting and movement, and that will be very helpful. Then he goes on to say, with your awareness permeating the tactile sensations throughout your body, take 3 slow, deep breaths, observing the sensations of the breath filling your torso from the belly up to the chest. So again, this is this little breathing exercise. What we'll be doing in the following meditations, we'll make that optional. So if you find that little breathing exercise at the beginning is helpful for bringing your mind into a neutral state and maybe also further relaxing your body, then you can do that little breathing exercise at the beginning. But I won't be making it a mandatory part. So that's an optional thing if you find it helpful. Then let your respiration return to its natural rhythm and simply be present with the breath for several minutes, breathing as effortlessly as you can. So again, remember just to allow the breathing to flow naturally. One, if we've done that breathing exercise or not, then we just let the breathing flow naturally. Don't try to manipulate the breath in any way. We're not trying to make it rhythmic or deep or subtle, or just let the breathing flow naturally. With this preparation, you establish a basis in relaxation. Without losing this sense of ease, now shift your emphasis to the cultivation of attentional stability. This is the ability to sustain the focus of your attention without becoming fragmented or derailed by the force of distracting thoughts and sensations. With this aim, instead of being mindful of the various sensations of respiration throughout your whole body, focus your attention just on the sensations of the expansion and contraction of your abdomen with each in and out breath. As you did before, note the duration of each inhalation and exhalation, and observe the duration of the pauses between breaths. Out of sheer habit, unintentional thoughts are bound to cascade through your mind like a waterfall. One way of stemming this relentless stream of ideation is to count the breaths. So that's what we're also going to be introducing into this practice today, is counting the breaths. Because the reality is that probably many of us will get easily distracted with this practice. And so one way to help to keep focus, it's a little bit of a sort of a beginner's tool, is to count the breaths. Because if we count the breaths, we are occupying our mind with some conceptual activity related to the breath, and therefore there's no space to get caught up in these other distracting thoughts. With counting the breaths, what we're going to be doing is at the end of the in-breath, we mentally note one. So we're not verbalizing, it's just a mental process. Just mentally note one. And then on the following out breath, of course, we're focusing on the sensations of the abdomen. And then focusing on the sensations of the abdomen on the following in breath. And at the end of the next in breath, mentally note two. And in that way, at the end of each in breath, we're counting. But the rest of the breath, we're focusing on the sensations of the breathing. And we'll be counting from 1 up to 10. And then when we get to 10, we'll go back to 1. If you lose count at any point, you forget where you're up to, then simply go back to 1. It says here, try that now by counting 1 at the beginning of the first inhalation. So actually we're going to be doing it at the beginning of the exhalation, not the inhalation. Then attending closely to the sensations of the respiration throughout the rest of the inhalation and exhalation. Count 2 at the beginning of the next breath, so at the beginning of the next out-breath, and continue in this way for as long as you find it helpful. Let these counts be brief so that your attention to the counting does not override the awareness of the breath itself. So we're not turning this into just mindfulness of counting. So the main object again here is still the sensations of the breath, but at the end of every in-breath, then brief mental count. The objective of counting the breath is to insert brief reminders in the practice, remembering to remember so that you don't get carried away by distracting thoughts. Attending to these mental markers at regular intervals in the course of the respiration is like taking note of milestones on the side of a country road, letting you know by their presence that you are on the right track and by their absence that you have wandered off your chosen route. This phase of practice is primarily concerned with mindfulness of breathing, not counting. It is easy to maintain just enough continuity of attention to keep track of counting, while between counts, the mind wanders off on its own like a dog without a leash. Let the counting remind you to keep your attention focused on the tactile sensations of the breath, which change from moment to moment. After counting the breath, Let your mind be as conceptually silent as possible for the remainder of the in-breath and out-breath. During the out-breath, release any involuntary thoughts that have cropped up. As mentioned before, arouse your attention during the in-breath and relax your attention with each out-breath. So remember, the two main faults in this practice is the dullness and distraction. So to help overcome agitation and distraction, the out-breath is a natural opportunity to really relax, and to overcome dullness, the in-breath is a natural opportunity to sharpen the focus. So we'll be doing this balancing during this practice as well. But don't relax so much that you become spaced out or dull. In this way, with each complete breath, you remedy the two major defects of attention. Meditation is a balancing act between attention and relaxation. Mastering this requires working to counter the natural reflex of trying harder or clamping down when you see that the mind has become distracted. Instead, as soon as you see that your mind has wandered, release the effort of clinging to the distracting thought or physical sensation, return to the breath, and relax more deeply. So really be aware or be mindful not to, if we get distracted, one, not to get upset. We should actually be happy that we've noticed we've become distracted. And then instead of clamping down more forcefully on the breath, is simply relax and very gently return to focusing on the breath. Remember that the main point of such attentional training is not to stop thoughts from arising. Rather, it is first to relax the body and mind, then to cultivate the stability of sustaining attention continuously upon your chosen objects. Thoughts are bound to arise. Simply do your best not to be carried away by them. The kind of awareness cultivated here is called bare attention, in which the mind is fully focused on the sensory impressions appearing to it, moment to moment, rather than getting caught up in conceptual and emotional responses to those stimuli. So bare attention, of course, means we are focusing directly at the physical sensations of the breath. So in this practice, we're not imagining the abdomen expanding and contracting. We're not visualizing. We're not imagining the breath moving up and out and moving in and down. We're simply attending directly to the sensations in the area of the abdomen. As you attend to the abdominal sensations of breathing, mental images of your body based on visual memory are likely to arise, together with the bodily sensations themselves. Recognize the difference between the tactile sensations of the breath as they appear to your attention, as opposed to the mental images of what you think your body looks like, which are superimposed by your conceptual mind. As soon as you note the presence of these mental images, release them and direct your attention solely to the immediate tactile experiences of breathing. So that's what we're going to be doing now in this practice. So again, we're now in this session now, just before the break, we're just going to do one 24-minute session. And we're just going to, again, do the normal preparation, and then we'll move to focusing on the abdomen. And then for the last 5 minutes or so of this meditation, we're going to experiment a little bit with counting the breath. Okay? So finding a nice, comfortable posture. Thank you. So letting go of any external distractions. And simply allowing your awareness to descend into the body. Becoming aware of sensations throughout the body. And using the out-breath to relax and release any tightness or tension in any part of the body. And in this way, allowing the entire body to become completely relaxed, completely at ease. While at the same time keeping the back nice and straight. And if you find it helpful, you can take 3 slow, deep breaths, maintaining awareness of sensations throughout the body as you breathe. And allowing the breathing to settle into its natural rhythm. Not trying to force or control the breath in any way. And relaxing more deeply with each out-breath.
And with each out-breath, letting go of any thoughts that may have arisen, happily releasing them. Without dwelling in the past, without anticipating the future, simply allow the mind to come to rest in the stillness of the present moment. Through focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body, narrow your focus and focus on the sensations of the breath in the area of the abdomen, focusing on the sensations of the rising and lowering of the abdomen as you breathe. Maintaining that ongoing flow of mindfulness throughout the entire cycle of each in and out breath.
you find that you've become distracted, then without getting upset, the first thing to do is simply to relax. And then to release the distraction and very gently return to focusing on the breath. So relax, release, and return. Every time you notice that you've become distracted. Or if you find that you're simply becoming dull or spaced out, then use the in-breath as an opportunity to arouse and refresh your focus on the breath. If you find that you're constantly becoming distracted, then we can experiment with counting the breaths as a way to help stabilize the mind. So at the end of the in-breath, we mentally note one, and then focus on the sensations of the breath on the following out-breath, and the following in-breath, and then mentally note two. In this way, at the end of each in-breath, we can count the breaths from 1 up to 10, and then go back to 1. If at any time you lose the count, simply go back to 1. So now we can experiment with counting the breaths to help stabilize the mind.